This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Welcome on into the second half of Sports Talk this Tuesday, March 25th. We are counting down to the start of LSU baseball taking on the University of Louisiana Lafayette. A 6:30 first pitch right here on the Big 870 AM and 105.3 FM, along with the Odyssey app. We'll see if the Tigers can get back on track after dropping 2 of 3 in their SEC weekend series at Texas. Definitely a tough one for the Tigers, looking to bounce back in a big way. And seeing from the tweets out from the LSU baseball account that Jaden Newt will be starting for the Tigers this evening. I guess, Charlie, we'll see how long he ends up on the bump for them. I would hope, you know, get a good 3 or 4 innings of work in.
Yeah, that's what you got last week when he went up against UNO. You got 4 innings off of him, 4 hits, 1 run, 5 strikeouts. It's his longest performance with the Tigers. It seems like he's going to be kind of their midweek arm now, this guy that they're starting. You know, we'll see how long he goes. Last week, after him, it was Jacob Myers and then Cooper Williams following him up. But that was a 7-inning game because LSU run-ruled UNO 11-1. We'll see what happens tonight. UL's not off to a great start this year, as I've mentioned on the show before, Steve. It's a little upsetting that they're coming off of so many good seasons back-to-back-to-back, and then all of a sudden they're off to an 11-14 start. I know they're young, and maybe they'll get it going in Sun Belt play, but LSU's getting them at a good time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, you know, there's the two, you know, I guess, sides of thought there that maybe UL's catching LSU at the right time right now where they're down, or are the Tigers looking to roar back in a big way?
I think it's quite literally the opposite. I think they're going to see a pissed off LSU team after losing their first weekend series of the season. And then, you know, you have this midweek game, and then you have Mississippi State. And as I mentioned when we were interviewing Mikey Matuk, Mississippi State is 1-5 in SEC play. Yes. But look at who they played. They played Texas in the opening weekend, and then they played Oklahoma in the second weekend. That's 2 top 10 ranked teams. It's just part of the SEC gauntlet, right? Like, Mississippi State is not getting a very friendly schedule to start off. When you have to face Texas, Oklahoma, and LSU in your first 3 weekends of conference play, that is brutal.
And you mentioning schedule, things changed up a little bit this week. We got a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series.
I saw Mississippi State play in Houston. Steve, the Astros were actually streaming the games. One of the weekend kind of tournaments, they played, I think, Oklahoma State in the game that I watched. It was a few weeks back. It was, you know, non-conference schedule. Obviously, it was early on in the season. They weren't super impressive. And obviously, things can change as the season progresses. But I'm not super surprised by their 1-5 start in conference play. As I mentioned, you know, I only saw them play a couple times when they were in that Houston Classic that the Astros were streaming on YouTube for free. So it was just like, why not watch some free college baseball? But I wasn't super impressed.
Well, you mentioned things can change. That happened this weekend, I feel like, for the LSU bullpen. We had been talking about how deep they were and how much talent there was there. And they kind of, you know, hit a rough spot against the Longhorns.
Yeah. You still have a couple pieces on the mound that you feel great about, including Zach Cowan, including Kaysen Evans, Cade Anderson. I would even throw Anthony Hyenson in there too, Steve. I know that people have been very critical of him, but you know, outside of maybe the Missouri start, he's been really solid for this LSU team. I trust him as the Saturday night guy moving forward. Cade Anderson has established himself as the Friday night ace. So you have a few pieces in the bullpen that you really love. It's just about who's that next tier going to kind of emerge or emerge in that next tier, so to speak, to become, you know, the valuable pieces that Jake can really, really trust.
Switching over to some NFL news, we got word right before the last hour ended that Russell Wilson has reached a one-year deal with the New York Football Giants. That QB room now looks like Wilson. You have Jameis Winston, and you have Tommy DeVito.
Tommy Cutlets. Yeah, no.
I don't know if this rules out the G-men taking a quarterback in the draft, but I'm not so sure they go with the third overall pick for a QB now.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see because you don't have a long-term answer there. I mean, you have Jameis on a two-year deal.
There.
That's true as well. That's a good point. Jameis is on a two-year deal, and then you just signed Russ to a one-year deal that can get up to $21 million in one season for Russell Wilson. I mean, good for him getting a payday, but we saw what Russ was doing leading that Steelers offense this past season, it especially late in the year, and it's not very pretty. It's kind of a one-trick pony at this point. So, yes, I think that the Giants would still be interested in drafting a quarterback, but it's also maybe a move to kind of ensure, hey, if Cleveland takes Shedeur Sanders with the 102, then we got two quarterbacks that can still battle it out in camp.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch for the NFC East over there with those two quarterbacks in the mix. Curious to see now where that last domino goes with an Aaron Rodgers. It feels like it's going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, we'll see what happens.
There's
there.
Really not much.
The funny thing is out the there fit is kind of bad. Don't you think, Steve? Like, for those that watched Aaron Rodgers play with the Jets just this past season, and you have, you know, you make the move for DK Metcalf, you have him, you have George Pickens, you have like these big outside receivers that will go up and make these contested catches. Can Rodgers get it down there at this point in his career?
Agreed.
I don't know. So that's kind of my question. I don't like the fit, but at this point, if you're talking about the QB vacancies where a team would still go after a veteran, yes, Pittsburgh does make sense. As far as maybe Minnesota, there were some ties there, which would be really funny because he'd follow the Brett Favre career arc. I don't know about that either.
Yeah, I thought that kind of got squashed.
Yeah, maybe so. So we'll have to see. But yeah, at this point, it definitely feels like Pittsburgh's the most likely spot for him. I just kind of question the fit there. And then, Steve, another thing that just popped up, ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting this, that the Patriots reached a agreement with four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
Really?
3 years, $69 million contract. So that's breaking news just now. And if you're the Patriots, you have the money, just spend it. You know, why not, right? We were joking, Mike and I were talking earlier on about how the Patriots could be the first kind of potential landing spot for Tet McMillan in this draft order. Now at this point, you get paid big money to Stephon Diggs, which at this point in his career, you know, we'll see how much he can kind of produce with that Patriots offense. They need help everywhere.
Right.
Like, that's a Patriots team that needs help on the offensive line. They desperately need help in their wide receiver room, so they get it there. Just help your young quarterback, because he looks like he could be special. He just needs some pieces around him, and hopefully Coach Vrabel and the Patriots front office can start to put that together.
Sticking with the NFL, the Tulane Green Wave had their pro day today, and it was over at the Saints facility on Airline Drive. Coach John Summerall addressed the media, talking about some of the players that could be draft potentially going in the draft, and I think the two main guys would be defensive back Caleb Ransaw and D lineman Aiden Huntington, who have a chance to at least get drafted in the NFL, not being undrafted free agents. Certainly a spot maybe for a couple of Green Wave guys. But here's what Coach John Summerall had to say after seeing his players doing their pro day workouts.
Coach, having most of the league represented here, I believe it's 31 if it's not 32 teams. What does that say about the brand?
Yeah, I think it doesn't hurt that you have a top-end guy like Caleb. You know, everybody, he ran the 40 at the combine, and I think was 4.32 or something. So that doesn't hurt when you know he's going to do drill work. It's nice to have a top end of the draft marquee type guy that can maybe get other guys a look or attention. But then I think the depth of this team, you know, you look at both DBs today, Jonathan and Micah, both corners, ran really good times, in the top end times. All the receivers represent themselves well. Pat Jenkins looked really good. I mean, I think there's a lot of interest in different guys maybe having a fit at the next level. And so that's a positive to have that many teams. Anytime you can get 31 or 32 at your pro, that's a positive.
What do you think Caleb will bring to the next level? You've seen him for years, even going back to Troy. And
yeah.
Now, you know, obviously, to see him get people to, you know, get that 40 time, the sixth fastest in Indianapolis last month. What do you think he's going to bring to an NFL team? And what's it been like for you to see him grow like this?
It's been fun to see him grow. You know, he's from my hometown, basically. I grew up in Huntsville. He grew up, he's from, I tell him all the time, he's from Harvest, not Huntsville, which is like out in the sticks a little bit more. I'm a city boy compared to him. But I remember watching Caleb in high school. What I think he's going to bring to an NFL team is he's got five position DB physical ability. And what I mean by that is he can go outside and run and play corner. He did that in 22 for us at Troy. In 23, he played in the slot. In 24 here, he played the slot. His best long-term position could be safety. That's what he played the Senior Bowl. And so he's got the physical ability to be a five-position DB. More impressive, he's got the mental makeup. Like, he is a football junkie. You know, he had an illness about a year ago, and I went to go visit him when he was having to get something handled at the hospital. He's in a hospital bed watching PFF and watching other draftable DBs in this year's class that he thought he could compare to. And so he's just ate up with the game. He loves it. He's a football junkie. And so high-character kid, competitive kid, really a good representation of what all our guys, I think, that are here today are. But I think he's got a really bright future. And as he's gone through the draft process, I think he's elevated. I think he's helped himself out at every step of the process so far.
What about a guy like, you know, Jonathan, obviously, you know, no combine invite. He does well at the Senior Bowl. Now, you know, working his way up stock-wise, too. What do you think he'll bring?
Yeah, Jonathan's a cool story. You know, he came to us from Indiana State, got here in June last year. So a late addition to the team. Big and fast. Like, you can't teach his size and his speed. You either have that or you don't. And when we got him, it was like getting a ball of clay. Like, we were a guy that we were able to teach a lot and him learn a lot. He's a sponge. He's a great kid. You know, he got the late call up to the Senior Bowl game. I remember when Jim Nagy called me to ask if I could get Jonathan on the phone to get him up there. Jonathan's response was like, "Hey, is that a good thing to get invited to that game?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a pretty good thing. You need to get up there." He's like, "Well, what if I don't have a ride?" I'm like, "I'll drive you." Mm-hmm. And so I think his ceiling is really, really high. You know, has a lot of development left. I think his best football is not just a year out in front of him. I think it could be 4, 5, 6 years out in front of him, potentially, because of the type of athlete he is. I still think he's got a lot left of development, for sure.
That was Tulane head coach John Sumrall there. The Green Wave going through their, you know, spring workouts right now as well. Got to take a break today, though, and take part at the Pro Day going on at the Saints facility. And something that says a lot about where this Green Wave program has become now, Charlie, is that 31 of 32 NFL teams, they had representatives present there today.
Coach Sumrall's awesome, man. We talked to him every single week during the football season with Tulane Tuesday. We talked to him last week as well, kind of, you know, getting a spring recap early on. They just started spring practice sessions, and he's been talking about all the turnaround that they're doing with this roster. It's like the craziest shift he's ever had year to year. But at the same time, if you're trusting anyone to lead your football program, Coach Sumrall is high on the list. He's fantastic.
Yeah, A-plus guy right there that they got to replace, you know, the last guy who was
Coach
pretty
Fritz.
Yeah, Coach Fritz was pretty darn good, too. His voice was a little hard to listen to. I'm wondering how he's doing right now.
I don't think Houston had a very good season this past year.
No, they didn't, right.
Yeah, so.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk as we get ready for LSU baseball taking on UL Lafayette, a 6:30 first pitch right here on WWL. I'll be back after the break talking a little more to you here on Sports Talk.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pushing out this edition of Sports Talk, getting ready for LSU baseball taking on Louisiana Lafayette, a 6:30 first pitch on WWL and the Odyssey app. Tomorrow on Sports Talk, make sure you tune in to get updates from LSU's Pro Day with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. We'll also be talking Sweet 16 with Nichols basketball coach Tavon Sandler. Also, getting ready for SEC baseball, one of our favorites, Mark Etheridge, joins us. So stay tuned tomorrow, folks. Have a great night, and we'll be back with more Sports Talk.